All right, we're starting at the top of Tzadi Zayed and Madalif. We're three lines down. We're going to do another case. The Gemara has been going through a number of cases. Here's another case with Shomrim dealing with the Baalim. How Gavra Deshael Davlo Michavre borrowed a bucket from his friend Itvar, and it broke. After the coming to Rav Papa, they came before Rav Papa to find out what the din would be. Amalei, Aite Sade Delo Shanitve. Viftar, bring a dim that you didn't use it inappropriately, you didn't abuse it in any way, and then you'll be patur. So it's similar to what we saw before, which is that would be that if the bucket breaks in its normal usage, that's considered like meta machma malacha, and since it's meta machma malacha, that's the one area that a shoel is considered or classified as being patur. How gavra, the shal shunre mechavre, borrowed a cat from his friend. A bunch of mice teamed up on him, and it killed him. So, obviously, the natural order is that the cats seek out the mice, and they kill the mice. But here, there was a little revolt, and a bunch of mice teamed up on this cat, and they killed it. So, Yatav Rav Ashi, so now the problem is, he borrowed it, so he's a shoel. Is this cat classified as Meita Machmat Malacha? Or is this considered some sort of pshia, ayude the borrower? So Kamai be like, ki hai gavna mai. What's the din here? Ki meita machma malacha dami olo? Is this meita machma malacha? I mean, meita machma malacha in this instance would mean that normally cats eat mice. And so since the shoel didn't allow the cat to do anything unusual, then it should be classified as meita machma malacha. Right? Obviously, if it's an ones, he's chayav. I mean, that if it's classified as an ones, it's not in the normal course. Then it would be class. Then he'd be chayav because he's chayav anuntsin. So what they want to know is this classified as meita macham malacha. The cat was doing normal, its normal business, and the fact that it died is its own fault or it's a flaw in the cat. A man who is killed by women, there's nothing to talk about. No din velo dayan. So the way the Gra reads it, you can see the little alpha in the Gra means here is that kameita machmat malachahu. That's considered to be a deficit in the individual, and as Rashi says, that neshekatula loya lo lipol biyadan. He should have been able to protect himself from falling into the hands of these women, and the fact that he fell into the hands of these women is classified as being a problem in the object, or problem with this individual, rather than an onus. So the same thing here, by the case of the cat should be able to protect itself. The fact that he didn't is indicative of the weakness or some flaw in the cat, rather than simply being an ones, that it's so unusual that we classify it as an ones. No, but rather it's a deficit in the item. If it's a deficit in the item, then we say, Meita machmat malacha, and he's patur. Ikad amri, some say that ochel achbrei tuva, that the case was he actually ate too many mice. V'chavil umit, got a stomachache, got a fever, and died. What's the din in this case? So a man that a woman kills is not there's nothing to talk about. So here Rashi gives a different interpretation. What does it mean? Neshei kadlua. So he says it's baal bi'ilut harbe umet, right? That he had relations with many women and then he passed away from that overexertion. So again, the idea being here is that the death of the individual was something that they could have controlled or something that should be within the individual's capacity to deal with. And so therefore, if a cat eats too many mice, that's not the fault of the borrower. That's there's something wrong with the cat that he doesn't know to stop. The same thing with this individual who doesn't know how to is boiled too many bilot and dies. It means he doesn't have an understanding or a control over his strength or his ability to handle a certain situation. Amarava, I'm on the boy the Mishal Mide Mechavre Veliftar. So Rava is making a suggestion based on what we learned today. It's like a summary of the idea of Shoel Bibalim. So Rava says if you want to borrow something and be Patur, namele the Shoel should say to the Mashiel, Ashkin Mayu, get me a glass of water. And then have a Shoel Bibalim. That would be classified as Sheol Balim, because since you are having the owner do work for you at the time that you're borrowing it, that becomes Sheol Balim, because that's what we summarized before. We don't paskin, right? We had discussed the position of Rav Hamnuna. Rav Hamnuna demanded both that you have to be, the Baal has to be involved in the work all the way through the process, and number two, it has to be involved in the same work as you. And the Gemara rejected both of those positions of Rav Hamnuna, which brings us to the conclusion that the Baalim only have to be involved with you at the Shat Sheila, number one, and number two is that they don't have to be involved in the same work. So you're asking the individual to give you a cup of water is enough to make him or classify it as Sheila Bebalim. Now, Ve'i Pikeachu, if the Mashil is smart, namely Sha'il Bereisha, V'hadar Ashkeach. Says, no problem. You just borrow this item, and after you've borrowed it, then I'll give you the water. Because then it's not Sheila Bebalim, right? Because it has to be at the time of the Sheila. And these are the cases we saw earlier in the Gemara, right? When he was drinking beer at the time that the agreement came into position, then that's not classified as Sheila Bebalim. Because he wasn't involved in the Melacha, he's not involved in the work at the time that the Sheila is taking place. So same thing over here. So Rav is giving, based on what we know till now, Rav is giving a suggestion both from Shoal and Mashil's side to explain, right, what we've determined halachically, what you could do here to have either side be, either side protect themselves or to make it Sheila Bivali. Amar Rava, Mikre Dardaki, person who is a teacher of children, meaning that he's the local mechanech, Shatna, this is the gardener, the local gardener, but here it's a person who plants vineyards for part of the profit. Tavcha, the butcher. Umna, the local bloodletter. And Sapar, and here it could either be Sofer, from the word Sofer, that he's the scribe, or it could be Sapar, like the barber. Mato, they belong to the city. They're people who service the city. Kulhu, bi'idani vitayu. Anybody, when they're doing their work, kishe'ela bebalim damu. It's the equivalent of having Sheila Bebalim. So that's what the indication from this is that if they are involved in work, right, and then someone borrows from them, since they are there to service the community and they're doing providing this service to an individual, then they are hired to that individual. Since they're hired to that individual, if you borrow something from them while they're doing their malacha, then that's classified as Sheila Bebalim. So Amar Leih Rabbanan the Rava. So the Rabbanan retorted to Rava. After Rava gave this position or din, they retorted to Rava. He says, Shaulan Mar. So they said, why don't you lend us some stuff now? Now, indications here, it's not, the Gemara seems to be like in an insinuating way, but what it seems to be is that they were basically indicating that since Rava was the Malamed, he was the Rosh Yeshiva and he was teaching them. So therefore, if they borrowed from him while he was teaching them, then they would be patur, because it'd be Sheila Bebalim. Since he was Meshubah to them to teach them, they were borrowing from him at that time, they would be patur. So Ikpid, he got upset that they thought, or they were indicating that he was Meshubah to them. So Amar Lahu, Lafguya Mumainu Kabaita, you guys want to rid me of all my money? You want to borrow from me and be Sheila Bebalim? Adarabba, he says just the opposite. Atun Shilton Li, you lend me some things. Right? So his implications from him were that they were Meshubah to him. Why were they Meshubah to him? The Ilu Ana Matze Ishtemute Lechumi Masechta Lemasechta. Says, I can decide. I get to decide what we learn. And I can decide at any point in time to change the Masechta. If I'm starting to forget, as well as Torah Shabbat Peh, if I'm starting to forget something, I want to chaz over it, I can switch to that and start chazing over it. And you just have to come with me. And you can't force me to change the topic. So since I'm in control of the topic, it's actually you who are a Meshubad to me. So here's the argument about the relationship between the Talmud and the Rav here. Who is really Meshubad to who? The Gemara says, Lohi, that it's not either like either party, but rather it's a mixed. Ihu she'iluhu b'yom adachala. They could borrow from him during the Yom Adachala. Yom Adachala is the pre Yom Tov speeches that the Rabbanan gave. So there, they could borrow from him. Why? Because he was then Meshubah to them. Because there, he could only deal with one topic. I mean, like before Pesach, he has to do Hilchos HaPesach. Before Rosh Hashanah, he has to do the halachas of Yom Tov, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot. So there, where he is Meshubah to the topic, and he can't change the topic, then they could borrow from him, because then he is Meshubah to them. On the other hand, Inu, Shilulei, Bishar Yomei. On the other hand, he could borrow from them, right, or they should lend to him on the other days, because on the other days it's not true. There he does control the topic, and since he controls the topic, then they are Meshubad to him. So it really depends on the who is in control of the situation, and that depends on the context. In certain contexts, the Rav is in control. In certain contexts, really the Talmidim are in control, in the sense that the topic is predetermined. And the topic's predetermined, then the Rav really is in control, and he is Meshuba to the Talmidim to teach. So Mreimar Bar Chanina, Ogur Kundanaita, he rented out a mule, Be Chozai, right, to the people of Chozai or to some family. Nafach Leduya Tuna Badayo, he went along to load the donkey or the mule with them. Pashuba, they were Pushe in it, Umit, and it died. Atu the Kameh Rava, they went to Rava for Psakalocha and Chayvinu. He was Mechayiv them. Amarle Rabban on the Rava, Pshia Babalim. What are you talking about? It's Pshia Babalim and he should be Patur. So Yichsif, he was embarrassed. So this is very similar. We had a number of these stories earlier in the Masechta. This idea that Rava gives a Psak and then the Rabban on the spot say, what are you talking about? This isn't Alocha. And then afterwards they identify that the facts of the case were different, and so Rava's Psak is really right. Even though, meaning that Meikar Alocha, the Psak was premised on the wrong halachic basis, but because of the facts, it turns out that it's proper. So Sofik Le Milsa, Dele Meser Tuna Hu Denofak, that he didn't go out there to work with them, meaning that Mreimer Bar Chanina didn't go to load the donkey with them, he just went to oversee, to be Mefakech. He wanted to watch over to ensure that they were treating the mule properly. So he was not involved in the work with them, he simply was just keeping an eye on how they treated his animal. And therefore it would not be classified as She'ela Bibalim, or whatever the relationship was here between them, if it was Schirut Bibalim, but it wouldn't classify. Now the Gemara says, wait, there's a presumption, this whole Psak Alocha here, which is that Pshia Bibalim is Patur. I mean, that's not so clear to us. We had that machlokas between Rav Chanina and Rav Acha before Ravina and Rav Acha about whether there was Pshia Bavalim was really Patur. So that's what the Gemara says here. Anich lemandam or Pshia Bavalim Patur. That makes sense according to the one who says Pshia Bavalim is Patur, Mishumach Yichsif. That's why he was embarrassed. Lemandam or Chayav amayichsif. If you think Pshia Bavalim is Chayav, then why was Rav embarrassed over here? He gave the right Psak Alocha. Even if it was Bavalim, Pshia Bavalim is Chayav. Where it says, Lo Mifsha Pashuba. Now, the facts, again, the facts of the case were mistaken. There was no Pshia here. Ella Ignuve Ignov. It was actually stolen. Umeta Kidarka Beganav. And then it dies in the house of the Ganav. Avi. Va'atula Kameh Rava. Rava said, and they passed him Vachayivinu, and he made them Chayav. So I'm going to Rabban the Rava, Gneva Bebalimi. Why isn't this classified as Gneva Bebalim? Meaning that basically this is a Shomer Bebalim, and a Shomer Bebalim, if there's Gneva, he should be Patur. It's not a case of Pshia. Ichsif, he was embarrassed. So Vigle Milsu, the Meser to Unahu, the Nofak, that it really wasn't Bebalim. Right? It was really with the. Without him being there, he was simply there to oversee what was happening, or to check up on what was happening, but he wasn't involved in a Melacha, so therefore wasn't. Borrowing or schirul to bebalim. If that's the case, they are chayav over here. Now, the fact that meta kedarka beganav, the fact that it died, really is somewhat irrelevant to the case. I mean, Tosfos says that he says meta kedarka beganav. Bimtomar matzirich lamar the meta beganav. Why do you have to say that it died there? As soon as there's gneva, there's a chiyuv on this individual over here. And if it's bebalim, they're patur. So he says yemesh lamar bezeta otam shesavru shemeta bepshia. That was the mistake. He tells us, says, that's the mistake here. Why they thought it was a case of Pshia is because they thought it died Bipshia. So when they thought it died Bipshia, that was their question. Versus, right, with the case that it made the Machmat Ones or Machmat Atzma died by itself, that is the real facts of the case. So now, and Rashi, on the other hand, seems to indicate, Meitet Gedarka Beganav, he says, V'afilu hachi chayavim, there's still chayav over here, Dinami Shavko Malachamavet. Even if the animal hadn't died, Beganav Havakaima, it would have been in the house of the Ganav. I mean, we don't say, Malihocha Malihotam, right? When generally we say by the Malachamavet, if the animal dies, Malihocha Malihotam, who cares where it dies, because it would have died anyway. It's not something that was contributed to by the Shomrim. But in this case, we can't say Malihocha Malihotam because had it not died, it still would not be here. And that's the problem. Since it won't be here because it was in the house of the Ganav. Now again, that's Rashi's not indicating that the necessity for the Meta, but just showing you that it's a greater Chiddush. That even though it died there, it's still they're still Chayav because the Iker issue is that it was taken to the Bei Ganav. It was by the Ganav. And since it could not be brought, taken by the Balim, that's why they are Chayavim over here. Okay, in the next Mishnah, a shualat para, person borrows a para, shalach chatziyom, sachra chatziyom. He borrowed it for half a day, or he rented it for half a day, meaning that it was alternating. Right? Shalach hayom, sachra lamachar. He borrowed it today, and he rented it for tomorrow. Sachar achat, v'shalachat. He borrowed two parot. One of them he rented, one of them he borrowed. Umeta, and it died. The parah died. A mash'il omer, the blender says, shula meta. So it's his to his advantage to say shula meta, because then he gets compensated. Because then the individual is chayav for everything, including on sin. So he says, omer shula meta, or b'yom shaita shula meta. Or on the day that it was rented, it died. And or b'shah shaita shula meta. I mean, that's referencing all the three cases here. The first case is shula meta is of the two, the shula meta. The second one is that if it was b'yom, right, before he said one day he rented, one day he borrowed. So this is the day that he borrowed it. And the last one was that he borrowed it for half a day and rented it for half a day. So it says b'shah shaita shula meta. Time that it was borrowed, it died. V'hala omer, and the shoel himself says, eni yodeh, I don't know. Chayav. The Mishnah says he's chayav. Because you have a bari and a shema. So we go with the bari and he's chayav. Now, a socher omer. Now, in the case where the renter or the baru, it says, schura meta. Of the two animals, the rented one died. B'yom shaita schura meta. Again, in the case where he borrowed it from one day and rented for the day, he says, on the day that it was rented, it died. B'shah shaita schura meta. Or the one where it was the same day, he said, half a day rental, half a day borrowing. There, at the time that it was schura meta. V'hala omer. The mash'il or the maskir says, eni yodeh, he doesn't know, he's patur. Again, you have a bari and a shema. We go along with the bari over here. Yeah, I mean, the assumption would have to be here that he died, for instance, by ones. Let's call it an ones. So therefore, by schirut, he'd be patur, by sheila, he'd be chayav. Right? You don't want to come up with a case where he'd be patur by the case of sheila, because then we'd be indifferent between the sheila and the schirut. All right, and then there's a little tosus here on the side, which is just interesting. So Tosfos says, what's the question over here? In general, whenever you're mafkid something, right, with another individual, you can be mashbia them misafek, meaning that you don't know for certain what happened to the object, meaning that we don't know. The shomer makes a claim, but we have no idea what happened to the object. And nevertheless, the owner of the object can always make the shomer take a shvua. He has no clue whether it was nenas or not, but he still commands a shvua. So why can't over here, in this case over here, where the borrower or the renter is making a claim, and a definitive claim, and the owner does not know, and he says, any yodah, why can't he say to him, take a shvua, like any other of the shvuat shomrim? So he says, Tosa says over here, hachosh any yodah imeta shula, in lashbio misafek. Here the problem is that the safek is a step back. It's not a safek about what transpired or what happened to the animal simply, and that's where he can be mashbia him, but rather the safek is one step back, which is he's not even certain which of the relationships they're involved in order to be mashbia him. Right? Because he has no idea. The Abikilu Omer, Amashil safek li mashil ticha olav. It's equivalent of saying, I don't know if I lent it to you or not. I mean, because he doesn't even have a clue whether it's the shu'ula or the schura, that's the one that meta here. So because he's uncertain about the relationship, he can't be mashbiah him. If he knew which relationship was in effect, then he could be mashbiah him even misafek. But if the safek's already a step back from that, which is that we're not even certain what relationship you have, in that case, he can't be mashbiah him misafek. Right, so now, the Mishnah concludes, Zeomer shu'ula v'zeomer schura. If they both come with definitive claims, you know, obviously each one to their benefit, right? The borrower says it was the schura, and the lender says it was the shi'ula. Then yishba socher, then the socher should take the shvu'ad shu'schura meta, that it died, the schura was meta. Zeomer, so in that case he has to take a shvu'ad, because you have bari and bari. If it's bari and bari, then he's got to take a shvu'ad, because he's a shomer, and he's got to take a shvu'ad that he is correct. If they don't, both of them have no clue which happened, which probably is very likely the scenario, then yachloka. Then they have to split it, and this is obviously like Sumchus, who believes mamona mutal b'safek is chokim over here. So now Gemara says, Shmami, now, from our Mishnah, we can take a conclusion. Manali b'yadecha. I lent you 100 zuz. V'halomer eni yodeh. Says, I have no clue. Chayav. He has to pay. If he makes a bari claim that I lent you money, the individual says, any of there, he's chayav. When it says, lematav diyuf to the Rav Nachman, this should be a huge problem for Rav Nachman. Ditmar, we have a machlokis here. Mana libi yadecha. The person says, I lent you 100 zuz. V'halo omer ni yodeh. Under the the borrower says, I have no clue. Vuna Rav Yehuda Amar Chayav. Vuna Rav Yehuda say Chayav, which would match with the basically the claim of our Mishnah, which says when you have a Bari claim and an Inni Yodea claim, then we say Chayav. Rav Nachman, Rav Yochanan, Amrei Patur. They say that you're Patur over here. So over here, if you're going to be Patur, why does... In which instance? Okay, so that's a good question, and we're going to see later on that this is based on the position of Sumchus, as we saw in the Mishnah, that we don't say Amotzi Mechaver of Alayra, but we say Mona Mubtel B'Safek is Chokim, and then Bari and Shema dictate. There is a piece in Tosus. I'll read you a part of the Tosus over here, why it may be different over here, but we'll get back to that in 1 second. All right, so Mar says, no, that Rav Nachman could explain this Mishnah, and he can explain his position versus the Mishnah. So, Rav Nachman kon sheish esek shvua b'nehem, that there is a demand, meaning that he has a shvua because of the ta'ana. I mean, that the only time that we say that you're chayav, and is when you have a shvua and you can't execute on that shvua. So, what's the case? Achanami kon sheish esek shvua b'nehem. Also, in our case, in the Mishnah, why you're chayav is because it's an esek shvua. What's that? Echidami, what's the case? Esek shvua. Kidrava. It's a case of esek shvua. It's like Rava. Damar Rava. Mana libi yadech v'lomer in l'chabi yadiyel chamishim. He says, you owe me 100. The other individual says, 50, you're right. I owe you 50. Vashar in yodeh. The other 50, I have no clue. So what is this individual? This individual is a mode b'mitzas. Well, since he's a mode b'mitzas, he's chayav a shvua. But what is the shvua of a mode b'mitzas? Shvua of a mode b'mitzas is that I owe you, right, no more than the 50 that I'm giving you. Can he take such a shvua here? No, because he doesn't know. He doesn't have enough knowledge to take a shvua because of the remaining 50. So since the Sharon Yodea, mitoch shen yocholi shvua mishalim, since he can't take the shvua, he is obligated to he's obligated to pay over here. Now, Tosfos points out, why don't we say, like, in a case of Choshed al HaShvua, when a person's Choshed al HaShvua, he can't take it, we flip it onto the other party, and we make the other party take the Shvua, and it'll be able to be no tell. So Tosfos down, it's the Tosfos Mitok Shein HaKodesh al HaShvua, differentiates over here. He says, Achanam Yavalon the Meimar min Adin b'Choshed al HaShvua. That it should be in the same din here by Choshed al HaShvua. L'tiknu Sheik Negdo Nishba b'No Tell. That they were metakein, that even though a choshet shvua, technically the din should be that if he can't take a shvua, he should pay. Nevertheless, Chazal instituted a takana that the nishba and notel, the other party has to take a shvua and notel. That was only to protect, really to protect these individuals, because if someone became choshet shvua, then anybody in the world could come make a claim against them and know, or lend them a small amount of money, like, and then force them into a position of shvua, and then they couldn't take the shvua, they'd have to pay because they can't take a shvua because of chazal the shvua. So in order to prevent that type of behavior from transpiring, Chazal instituted that if there's a chazal the shvua, we flip it on the other party. But of alhacha, in our case over here, ubenascha she'enu yachol shvua lo machmachu chashud, because he can't take the shvua not because he's chashud, el ata b'tvia zu enu yachol shvua mamchata me'ora. The reason he can't take a shvua is because of the circumstances, because of the facts of the case. Over here, the Chazal we're not instituting. Here, they don't have to protect him. The answer is he should have known the answer. If he doesn't know the answer and he can't take the Shvua, he's got to pay. But in that instance, we're not going to worry about or make institutions that the other party has to take a Shvua over here, because this is not a case where people can gang up on the individual or cause a monetary loss, because it has to do with the facts of the case and not the person's personal situation. Now, the a couple points that Tosus makes. One is that the fact that Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda are Chayav, and Rav Nachman and Rav Yochanan say Patur over here, that's all before the institution of Shvuat Haseit. Right? Before, when a Kofer Bakol didn't have to take a Shvuat Haseit. But once we establish that there's a Shvuat Haseit for Kofer Bakol, then even if he says any Odeh, he's got to at least take a Shvua, that he any Odeh. He's got to take that Shvua, because that's exactly what Shvuat Haseit was trying to prevent. It was trying to prevent people from taking or making claims that would be poter them from a Shvua d'oraisa. Because people saw that if they were Kofer Bakol, they were better off than Modi Miksad, so they were Kofer Bakol, so they don't have to take a Shvua. So people know if they say any Odeh, they're not going to have to take a Shvua, then, right, they're going to go, everybody's going to say any Odeh. So fair, again, after the institution of Shvuat Haseit, this Eni Yodeh would not help. You would not be Patur, you'd still be Chayav. The last thing is, Tzvi, your question, which Tosfos deals a little bit with in the Tosfos called Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda Amrei Chayav. Bari B'Shem, Bari Adif. So Tosfos says, Tema, This is the position of Sumchus. Aval chachamim arim ze klal gadol b'dina motzi mechareyo alav arayo. My klal gadol. So what's the klal gadol? Afilu nizak omer bari. Umazik omer shema. We still say, right? Tamotzi mechareyo alav arayo. Which is basically your question, Tzvi. Why aren't we instituting, why can't Rav Nachman answer over here? That's Sumchus in the Mishnah. I hold like the Chachamim, which is a Motzi Mechavero of a Lavaraya. And even in the face of a Bari and a Shema, even in the face of a Bari and a Shema, we would still say that. That's what Tosfos asked this question. Vote! If you skip down a line from where we are, the Hocha Manali Biadecha, the Leka Droror of the Mamona, Lo Palik Sumchus. And even more so over here, where there's no Droror of the Mamona, there's no reason to suggest that there's a problem here. Even Sumchus agrees to the Chachamim, right, that there's Motzi Mechaver of Araya. I'm sorry?
Yes. What does the Lekka mean in this particular case?
Right, so happens to be a Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos that we dealt with in Bava Kamma about what does the Rora de Mamona mean? What lack of the Rora de Mamona is either lack, there's a lack of basis in the sugya, in the actual relationship, to say that there's some doubt about the claim here, right? Or the other possibility is that, right, this Rashi's pshat, I remember now, is that there's a loss involved, that there's some sort of monetary loss that's going to be caused here. So there, Sumchus doesn't disagree and says that there's a motzi mechaver v'alaya. So Tosfos answers here, and this is what we saw. We saw this together in Bava Kamma. We saw this shita in Tosfos, that there's a difference in the type of bari and shema that you can have. He says, Yesh lomer, the dafa hocha is leid rav yudah divrei bari odif, davi bari tov v'shema garua. That over here, the bari is a good bari, and the shema is a bad shema. Why is that? But by gabi nizak, avi bari garua, l'fish yodeh shemazik lo yasham, lo yachishenu toen bari. V'shema shel amazik, nami tov, hu shelo yalu leida. So we saw this in Tosfos in Bava Kamma, which is that you can have different types of bari and shema. That when someone makes a definitive claim, right, the definitive claim is only has standing or merit when it's in the face of, first of all, someone who could question his statement, and number two is when the shema part of the claim is something where the shema is a lack of knowledge or a lack of information that he should have known. So they have different types of bari and shema. So over here in this case, when he makes a bari claim about, you know, what happened, right, or makes some sort of claim here by Mona Lebi Yadecha, and he makes a bari claim, right, this is something that he has knowledge about, and it's something that the borrower could deny. He has enough knowledge to deny whether this transaction happened. And then when he says, any Yodeya, that I borrowed the money, that's also a Shema that is a Shema Garua, I mean, that he really should know. And the fact that he says Shema is almost like a mark on him that he's saying Shema. So in that case, do we say bari and Shema, that the bari trumps the Shema, and we ignore Motzi Mechaver Olav Araya. But in other cases, for instance, cases which is the case we saw in Bava Kamma, the Tosfos commented over there, by Mazik and Nizak. Over there, the Mazik, if you remember, the animals, whether it was pregnant, right, the animal was pregnant, and then it gored the animal, we're not sure when it happened. Those instances where, number one, the claim of the Mazik in this instance is not a good Bari claim. Why? Because the Nizak clearly has no information that allows him to deny the claim of the Mazik. He wasn't there. So when the Mazik goes makes a claim, his Bari is not a strong Bari, because his Bari is premised basically on the fact that there can be no denial. And the Shema of the Nizak is also a good Shema, because we don't expect him to know. He really shouldn't know the information. So when he says any Yodeya, it's a good any Yodeya. So based on this, Tosfos separates in cases, or differentiates in cases here, between when Bari and Shema, right, Motzi Mechaver Olav Araya will override Bari v'Shema. When do we say that Motzi Mechaver Olav Araya overrides Bari and Shema? That's only when we have a Bari that's not such a good Bari, and a Shema that is a good Shema. That was the case of Mazik and Nizak. But in cases where the Bari is an excellent Bari, and then the Shema is a poor Shema, like our case over here, where the lender, right, first of all, is making a good claim that could be denied, and the borrower who's saying any Yodeya, right, is someone should know, so his Shema is a bad Shema, right, in that case, we say that will trump a Motzi Mechaver of Araya, and then Bari and Shema will dictate, and the Bari will dictate in this case. Right, so to answer your question, Tzvi, That's what Tosus does. He differentiates in the cases. Here he says, "En ochanami." Normally it is a motzi michaver varaya, but this is a case or an exceptional case where the bari is so strong and the shema is so weak that it trumps the amotzi michaver olavaraya. All right, so we will stop over here.